compelling message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Interrupt this conversation and say, Mr. Moish, are you God? That's what he looked like to me. His hair was white. It was perfect. And so they cracked up laughing. But anyway, I just started to think about all these things that happened around the table. And fast forward many years when I started dating Joshua, they ate together after church every Sunday, which we... And when I got invited, I started being invited to the Sunday table. I noticed something at their table that was different than our table that I had grew up in. They talked about the Word of God at this table. They talked about the move of the Spirit and about lives being changed and about miracles and all these awesome things. And I was a new believer. And I had no clue half the things they were saying. So what I would do is I would try to grasp at least the book of the Bible they were talking about. And then when I went home, I opened my Bible. All week long, I'd read that chapter to see if I could get anything that they were saying. And back then, I didn't have a computer. There was no internet. And I didn't even know what a concordance was. So, but what I realized about that table was I was discipled around that table. A lot of my learning of the Word of God, of the move of the Spirit, of being hungry for God, came in the context of sitting around a family table and eating a meal. They didn't have, in the church I grew up in, at least I didn't know, this 101 Bible, New Believers classes. No, we sat down, and I remember one time Mona talking about cankerworms and locusts, and I don't know what she was talking about, but that table, I was discipled around that table. So now at this point, I realize that you're saying, why is she talking about getting there? you may recall when Pastor Joshua started this series, the first Sunday of January, he said that there was a recent survey in the United States that indicated that even in the face of a fast-paced world and, you know, mom's working, dad's working, people going here, still the majority of the people are to gather around a table. To be in family around a table. And, you know, some of us may conclude, well, that's what we do, that's what we Americans do, or that's what we Puerto Ricans do, that's what we Ugandans do, whatever race, I think everybody does do it, and that it's a ritual. But think about what an excellent place to share life together around a table. It's just a great place, and Josh and I, past these 7 years, since we planted the church, we have sat around a table with a lot, got to know a lot of people, just fellowshipping in that context. And as I said, as I was studying communion, this term, love feast, kept on coming up. And you may recall, and you guys are going to probably get sick of us saying this, you may recall, Joshua said it, I said it, that you can teach something and not have full understanding or full revelation of what it is. And I think last Sunday was a good example. You can practice something and still not understand the magnitude of what the Lord has in and through the act. We saw last week about the Lord's Supper. Many of us had taken it as just a mere symbol, just something that you do, this blood, this is bread. But we came to see in the scriptures that the Spirit of God works through it. There's nourishment to our bodies as we take the communion. There's healing in the communion. There's deliverance in the communion. There's kingdom living that comes through the act, through the Spirit of God. So, here we go. I guess this is the year of finding all the things that we did wrong. We here at Maranatha did something called Breaking Bread Sunday. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Once a Sunday, last Sunday of the month, we got together, brought food, and we came to the table and ate. But I believe, correct me, Josh, if I'm wrong, once again, we did something for doing its sake and didn't understand the magnitude and the depth of what it really meant. And because we didn't see the seriousness of it, nor we saw the beauty of it, nor we received what the Holy Spirit had for us. So we stopped doing it when we moved. And you know, we were real scriptural. We even called it Breaking Bread Sunday. That was the extent of our understanding. But I want to share with you some of the things I learned about coming to the table as a family. And we're going to start coming to the table as a family again in relation to the Lord's Supper and in relation to the koinonia, in relation to the fellowship, to the community. And the origin of the love feast, just in case if you've never seen it in the Bible, the origin of the love feast, we don't need to look any further than the Last Supper, okay? the communion meal. In Matthew 26:26, it says this. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take and eat, this is my body. So the very first communion, the very first Lord's Supper, was instituted in the context of a meal. And the meal continued to be a normal setting in where Christians came together, they worshiped, they studied the word, they prayed. Acts 2:46. Want to go there? You can. I'm just going to read it. Acts 2:46 tells us this. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, so they went to the sanctuary, they went to the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So this expression of breaking bread is talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion table, the one that we took last week. But no doubt, the issue here of eating with gladness and simplicity of heart is the context of a meal that they came together and had. And as I started to study and read, like I said, history on the church, on the first church, the rather amazing thing that I found was this, that nearly all, which is a miracle right here, nearly all biblical and patristic scholars, meaning Catholic, Protestant, liberal, progressives of life, they agreed on this one matter, that the New Testament worship consisted of the love feast, followed by the preaching of the word, followed by communion, the Lord's Supper. Something that we can all agree on. I guess that would be one way to start a good conversation. This act of the love feast is mentioned in early church writings in the Didache. But the point I'm trying to want to make here today is this, that I want us to understand, perceive, that in this context, so real was God's presence to the early church, you know, the church, to the early church, that life, just regular living, business of life, and worship blended together. It was in conjunction. It was one thing. It wasn't, okay, I go worship here, and then I'm working over here, and I'm doing life, and I'm... No, it was became one. And for them, and I want us to grab onto this statement, for them was to live was to... That not sound a little bit familiar to something that we learned in the book of... Already to talk about the throne room. Who remembers? What goes on in the throne room? Remember?
Worship
and business, right? Business and worship. So to live is to worship was to live. That's how it was for them. And I want to share a little testimony here. Actually, I want to say this first, I'm sorry. We need to understand, when God calls us to do things, there's a reason. His presence manifests itself. The scripture is clear. We know the scripture says, where two or three are gathered, He... Jesus is in the midst. The psalmist said, how beautiful and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like oil flowing off of Aaron's beard. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon. What's that oil? The anointing, the Spirit of God, the dew, the refreshings of revival come. So in our dues, we do things because that God asks us to do. The Spirit of the Lord manifests itself, that we have communion with Him, each other. So here's a little testimony from one of the books I read that is a great example of this, and I'll put it in context. This was 1908, and it was a missions ground, a training ground for missionaries that they sent out. This is a Church of God, and this is just one testimony of things that happened around a table. It said, one morning in the cottage on the mission grounds, two were healed before breakfast. Another morning at family worship, two were slain under the power, and one received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The dining room is a blessed place. The power comes down so upon the workers that they can scarcely eat. We sing, we speak in tongues, we praise God at the table. The food from heaven is the best part of the meal. And this author used this one sentence, and I'm going to repeat it because I thought it was so beautifully said. He said, They expected God to act at the dinner table as well as at the sacramental altar. For them, the dining room was no less sacred than the that to live is to worship. Embedded in them. They lived that. They understood it. So I started to ask myself, of course, the next logical question I think would be is, why aren't we like that now? Why don't we in Western church walk in that lifestyle? Why don't we grasp on this theme of to live is to worship and to worship is to live? And some of you may recall, and those of you that weren't here, last year when we did this same theme of messages that we're revisiting, Pastor Joshua spoke and taught about how Greek philosophy and Greek thinking had infiltrated into Christian teaching. And I would even say a lot of modern psychology has come into what people call Christian teaching. And that's why we need to go back to the Word and keep our Word in the right place so we don't miss out on these gems and these treasures that God has. And He taught us about sophist thinkers. And just in case anybody doesn't remember, they were philosophers that taught that you can mentally divide your body and your spirit. So this is my challenge. Start to think about your life, because I was thinking about mine. What do we divide that we say, okay, I'm going to go off and Monday through Saturday, and I'm going to do A, B, C, D, H, G, but I'm leaving the things of the spirit over here for Sunday. Want to bridge that gap, okay? We want to bridge that gap because the Bible says that's how it's supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to live, bridging the gap. And that is one of the reasons, because of how we've been taught and what we read, and we've gone off of the Word of God, that this big gap exists. But we're not going to do that at Maranatha, right? Bridge the gap. There'll be no gap. So the Bible tells us this, that we were created, what, in the image of God? Body, soul, spirit. One unit. One unit. That's what God says. So why should we, as a community, be any different than the example that the Word of God lays out for us? Correct? We want to be biblical people. So when we worship and we study together and we come and we practice ceremony, as I mentioned before, we are reminding ourselves and we are demonstrating to the world, and like we learned in the Bible, to the powers and principalities, who we belong to, that we are the redeemed of the Lord, and this is what true life looks like. To live is to worship is to live. That's living in what my favorite theologian, sorry Josh, N.T. Wright says, the true humanity. See, Jesus came and showed us what true humanity looks like. He is the example that we are to follow.
Amen.
So, as we worship and we have these dues, okay? It always blows my mind. Have you ever met somebody that says, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. I don't pray. I don't read the Bible. I don't need to tithe. I don't need to do. Anybody know people like that? How strong of a believer are those? Same with our dues. Do this because we love the Lord. Not because we have to do it. You see, because we're not like those other religions out there that just do stuff for doing sake. There's doctrine, there's word, there's theology, there's purpose, there's the Spirit of God behind our dues. I pray because I believe God can touch and move. I pray because I want to have communion with God. I read my word because I want to know who this Jesus is. I come to the house of God because He said, don't forsake the assembling together, especially as you see the day approaching. And guess what? The day is approaching. We do because we love Him. And it's going back, just like that series we just finished in Revelation. We're going back to the beginning. What did God say? Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, right? He tells us, love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. What kind of love is that? With all, every part of your being, mind, soul, spirit. Then He says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. I've got this great fear, and I keep on telling Josh, he said, Joshy, the psalmist said, your word hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You don't want to sin against God? Learn that word. Pop up. That's what we do. We do it because we love him. And it says, impress them upon your children. Parents, those that of you, talk about it. He said, this is what God said. He said, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Talk about the Lord. Talk about the Word of God. Use every minute you have to be a teaching moment, because the span is very short, and you want them to do the same, walk in the ways of God. And I know that was extra, but that's on my heart. So you see, God is bringing us back to the original intention. And the Holy Spirit is here, and this is just like in the communion. The Holy Spirit is here to enable us to live today. And this came up in the Christ in Learning. I thought, oh, this is great. It matches perfect with what I'm going to talk about. Enables us to live today kingdom thinking. Kingdom. So when you go to work, for example, for years I had this habit. I'd go to work, and the first thing I would do was I'd lock my desk. Lord, bless the work of my hands. It's a busy day. Give me witty ways to be able to do all that I have to do in just the 8 hours that I get paid for. I wanted to get it done in the hours that I get paid for. Get it done. And you know what? The Lord does it. Yes, not that I never ever worked extra. I did. I have. Joshua knows it. But that seemed just ordinary and normal. He blesses the worker in your hand. I have had such favor. It's just unbelievably mind-boggling. And I believe it's because I've brought the Holy Spirit into what seems to be that ordinary thing of life. That wasn't on my notes. Okay, and I want to bring some balance to this, because I know some of you may be saying, that's tough, Jeanette. It's hard. Yes. Have I cried an ocean? Have I suffered? Yes. Have I had trials and tribulations? Yes. All of those things I have had. But God, but Jesus, but the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go through stuff. But he's there in the moment to come, and we can pray and we can say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not tomorrow, that's today. That's every day. Kingdom bursting into our lives today. Today. To move, touch, to change atmospheres, to bless us, to reach other people. So, as a community of faith here at Maranatha in 2014, this year, we're going to be very intentional. That's why we're talking like this. We're going to be intentional in how we live, how we relate to one another, and how we relate to each other in the body of Christ. This is really important because it tells those that come from the outside, wow, what kind of living? I'm not seeing this kind of life. I'm not seeing this kind of living. It provokes people to think. I had a conversation last night with a sweet lady, and she said, you know, I've never been around people that talk about God, that love God, that live like this. See, she probably had never read Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, the Bible, but our lives were being read. And she cried. And I said, you know what? This life is for all that want it. We're not any special. We're not better than anybody else. If you want it, you can have it. Have it. Just go to Jesus. So, like I said, we're going to be intentional, and I believe that as we do, others will see. As we invite others to be a part of this, to live is to worship, and worship is to live, others will see, because we do have a treasure of truth. This is a treasure that we have, that God's laid out for us, and of peace that we could share with others. Have any of you noticed how unrestful people are out there in the world? I mean, it is just so sad. I felt so bad. I had somebody from Pennsylvania that's on my Facebook page that works for me. She does some paperwork for me. She said to me, she wrote me and said, Jeanette, I have looked at your Christmas picture. They've given me such comfort to see a family like yours. Right. I mean, people hurting. That was my in. Jesus. My in to share with her. Life that Jesus. Yeah, we suffer. We've had. We cry. Things are tough. But Jesus. Jesus. So, That being said, everything we do now in this community, my prayer is, and I want everybody to get that little motto into their mind. Live is to worship is, that's how we're going to start. That's how Monday through Saturday should be. I want to hear what God is doing as you do that. So, what we're going to be doing here as a family is we are going to institute the Love Feast. We're going to institute the Agape Meal. And our first one will be on, mark your calendars, March 30th. I believe that's Sunday, March 30th. And what this is going to be is it's going to be a service. So how the Love Feast, the Agape Meal, was celebrated was they came together, they had a simple meal, had communion, they had the preaching of the word, and they had worship. And some of you may remember, we're actually going to have a guest speaker come. Remember Pastor Dennis Val that came to the house, Valerie that came to the house and prayed with us. He's going to come and share a word with us. And he's really excited because his roots way back when, where he came out of the Methodist church, and the Methodists really celebrated the Love Feast. This was something that the Wesley brothers did, part of their method, how they operated. And what we'll do is, that will be the service. So we're going to, on the practical part, we're going to need all of you here on time to participate, to help prepare, to help set up, to pray that the Spirit of God will move like in the days of old in the midst of the people. And now you have 2 months to target one or two people to bring to the Love Feast so that they can see what a community, what a family of God looks like, sounds like. Amen? All right. And the other thing I believe God is going to do through this, He is going to start to revive the gift of hospitality amongst the people. And this Love Feast is very much has that gift of hospitality enveloped in it. And I found this awesome scripture in Romans out of the Message about hospitality. And it says this, very countercultural. Such a countercultural, though all the Bible is countercultural. It says this, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Now here, listen to this one. This is anti-USA, anti-American thinking. Practice second fiddle. Practice playing second fiddle. In other words, outdo yourself for somebody else. Go find somebody that you can outdo yourself. Love them the way the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians. That love that long suffers, is patient, is kind, that we can get over all our idiosyncrasies and messy personalities and conflicts, that kind of love. It says, don't burn out, keep yourself fueled to flame, be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Cheerfully expectant. You see, we need to come expecting God to move, to visit. Don't quit in hard times. A lot of people quit when the things get tough. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Are there a lot of needy Christians? How many are needy Christians? Be inventive in hospitality. Be inventive. Pray. Okay, Lord, our church is going to do this Love Feast. And we're going to come together. I'm going to have a simple meal and we're worship. We're going to have communion. Father, by the Spirit, help me. How do I be inventive in my hospitality? How do I reach out to somebody? Give me the way. He will. Gotta ask, but He will. So, we are going to start doing this. And as we do, we're going to be sharing with others what this mystery is to live in communion, live in the Love Feast. To live is to worship is to live. And I believe that it will compel people to say that I don't have. So I'm just going to close right now. This was a short word. I want to close with a song I found that was written by an American gospel writer. His name was Charles Benton Widmyer, and he was a minister as well. And he was preparing a sermon based on John 12, and he penned these words, but he was preparing a sermon, and you may remember the context of his sermon was when Jesus invited his disciples at the shore to have breakfast. Jesus starts to have this conversation with the disciples, and he says to Peter, Mary says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Love you? He said, feed my... That was his response. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. He asked them a third time. And Peter's response, you know, yeah, Lord, I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. So this minister wrote this beautiful song. It's a Southern gospel song. I won't... And he said this, and these are the words, and I'm just closing with his words because I'm way more beautiful than I can. Jesus has a table spread. The saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, though sweet to sup with Jesus. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. May feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, water into wine. And I'm saying to Maranatha, to the hungry, calleth now. Come, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you would cause us to be this people that see the treasures of what you are doing. You're calling us to the table to eat.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.